This is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. This is Lisa Horlander. Today I'm really excited. I have one of my old, non-art world, art world friend, Nora Scheiber. She's an artist, philanthropist, volunteer, explorer of our world and the relationships between people from a sociological and psychological point of view. She received a Master's of Fine Arts at the University of Texas at Tyler. She's a mixed media and video artist with a focus on installation work. Scheiber's shown her work throughout East Texas, literally installed in some areas, and across the U.S. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's so good to hear your voice. I have to start off, I miss our studio visits, and we're going to have one soon.
I know. It's super important, and now that I'm not up, at school and, having that kind of camaraderie from that, it's really sad.
It's weird, isn't it? It's a different experience to be on this side of things.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's weird, too, because I always liked, especially when I was, settling down to actually work, I didn't want anyone around. I wanted to have, nothing happening, no people talking to me, no one around, and then now I'm sad and lonely.
I know. It's like now there's no one, no interruptions, nothing. It's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, I wish I could get annoyed by someone.
I can come and annoy you. Don't worry, I'm good at that. if we were in the studio right now and you had your glass full of something, what would be in your glass? That's always my first question. Are you into tea or coffee? Maybe something else?
Oh, yeah, like a drink. I was like, what else would I put in a glass?
Not paint water.
Definitely just water. Because I was always out, especially, when I had the opportunity at the school to do, way larger pieces. I was working, my butt off, and I was always sweating, so water was so important.
So true, though.
So, but now that I get to work from my house, sometimes it's wine in there. You never know.
I know. Sometimes it's like the juices will help you flow in a different direction.
Yeah.
So much fun. Okay, so what are you are you working on anything or finishing up anything?
So I'm working on a new body of work. It's kind of like two mixed together, but I'm looking at revising. So on one side, it's taking some of my older works, Republic installations, and specifically for one part of this, it's when I did the big banners that had someone's face, and then I called it the forced first impression, where I gave them a positive word as a mask to encourage the audience to see these people as something positive before they could build their own, hopefully not, but possibly negative first impression. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking those, and what I'm trying to do with the work currently is to take the idea of home, our residence, where we feel comfortable or maybe not feel comfortable, but how it's also relating to our outside self.
Yeah.
This makes sense. So it's, you have your home person, and then you go out into the public, and we all tend to manipulate parts of ourselves to fit in, to feel recognized and accepted. So I'm trying to mix those. And so one part of it is this, cutting up those big posters, and I'm going to be quilting them using, some very traditional quilting patterns. And then I've got another part of this body of work that's going to be really focused on the interiors of people's homes, but, trying to meld everything into this empathetic idea, that we're all connected. We share so many experiences, even though they might, still be personalized. We do end up, having levels that we understand each other. And I think part of that is how we build, our homes, the spaces that we spend most of our time in. So, that part will
really
be a little
exciting bit
of ceramics mixed in. So,
oh, good.
That's a fun one.
I always get excited when you mention ceramics. I'm like, oh, yes, please get more.
Yeah,
I want to buy them. Oh, I'm excited. I'm really excited. I want to come. I want to see.
Yeah. I'll have a solo show at TJC's there in the art hallway in the fall. So hopefully a lot of this will be shown there.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited. That's good. I always get excited if I get to see your work. So,
You're sweet. Thank you.
No, I always.
Well, it's nice to hear that because it's a great encouragement. You know, like we said, not being in the school atmosphere anymore. It's, you know, sometimes when you don't get into shows over and over and over, you're like, why do I do this?
Yeah, you're like shouting to the void. I'm like, what is anybody seeing this? Does anyone care? Do I care if anyone cares? Wait a minute.
Yeah. It's so weird. We want to make this definite for us, but it's also for people. And so we don't really need people to see it, but we do. We desperately need them to see it. Yeah.
I want to communicate this with somebody, but no, I totally, I always get really excited whenever I hear that I get to see your work because it's always a good experience. So.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm about to say it. I want to come see it. We have to have a studio visit. We're going to make it happen. We've talked about it. We keep bringing it up and then life gets in the way. No more.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's part of that thing too. Once you graduate, you got to go out and make money.
This money thing, it's always getting in the way.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah.
Well, if you could go back and give yourself a tip or trick to your younger self, what would your tip, your main, like, at least one tip or trick that you'd give yourself?
So, I think I would, starting from a young age, you know, because I was always painting, drawing, or doing something, mm-hmm. I think that I would have, you know, pushed myself a little bit harder in it, really focus on learning some of the techniques when I was still young, because I think, you know, as we grow, can't teach an old dog new tricks. So it becomes, I think, a little bit more difficult to accomplish certain things you might want in a piece, you know, just because I didn't push myself super hard. So I didn't learn everything when I was so young and malleable. I would say that as I was growing up, I wish I had spent more time learning about all the different kinds of art and what people were doing throughout time. Because I feel like once I really started delving in, I was so far behind.
I wish, you know? Can you repeat that to my students for me? Because that's one of my big things I have in my classes is we do art news time. And once in a while, some of the kids will complain or groan. And I look at them, I'm like, you will thank me later for this.
I'm like,
you guys, I did not get any of this until college. And then it was difficult to catch up because everybody was so ahead of me. So, please, I'm like.
It's super important. I mean, I didn't even understand, like, I had this naivety about me that it was, you know, there was painting, drawing, and then the regular old sculpture that we saw in textbooks, you know. Once I got out and I learned the vast, you could do everything.
And like,
you know?
we were already like swimming in it too. It wasn't like, oh, this is new. It's like, oh, we've been doing this for decades. This is amazing.
Yeah.
We can do whatever we want, like literally whatever we want. We can put a video onto the art and we can install it like in a park. I don't know anyone who's done that.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, I know. And I think that the last bit of advice I would give myself is to learn to build connections.
Because
I feel like I got so shut off and then I was just making, you know, and I was so concerned about just making and then not concerned about actually involving myself in the art world and getting what I was making out there, you know, and meeting all these other people that were making and, you know, and I think that's something you've really excelled at as you're really delved into the community and trying to build connections and, you know, meet people. And I think that's been a big hindrance for me is, you know, especially trying to introduce myself to other people, you know.
That's the hardest part.
Maybe gallery people, you know. I just kind of go, oh, you know, I want something from you. So I'll go back away, you know.
No, I know.
But
that's the hardest
super important
part.
Thing. Yeah, it's so hard.
It's hard. It's basically like, it's just making friends. And quite honestly, some of us, like, doesn't always come naturally to me to make long, like, really deep friendships. I'm really good at making acquaintances. And I'm finding you actually have to make some deep friendships if you want to get into the gallery scene because you've got to show up all the time. And you can't just be a wallflower. I'm like, oh, we've got to up this game. I'm like, I've honestly been researching things and trying to become a little more of a social butterfly because I got really used to being in the studio making. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
But it's really rewarding too.
Yeah.
It's,
every, you know, when we would have visiting artists and things like that, so nice. Or when I go to galleries or museums, you know, I know the people, I know I should talk to them, you know. I can point them out in the crowd, but I'm not going to walk over, you know?
Yeah.
And that's essential. You have to make those connections with people.
It's one of the reasons I have the podcast. It makes me continuously reach out to people. Like, it's kind of, and it's a little more fun to me because instead of feeling like I'm burdening them or I'm trying to make them look at my art, I'm like, hey, would you like to be on my podcast? And that gives them back something. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, this is a lot easier to feel outgoing because I'm doing it for the podcast instead of trying to make them look at my art. So that's, for me, a little mental trick I've been doing.
It's super smart. And it's fun. I mean, you're getting to build all those connections, you know?
I really like it. That I'm beginning to realize I might be an introvert, but I have some extrovert qualities that I didn't realize were hiding. So that's been fun.
Yeah.
If you ever want to go gallery hopping, you let me know.
Okay. Yeah, I need to.
It was me and Jessica Sanders. We were
gotta get out of my house.
Yeah, it's fun. We'll do, I'm about to say, road trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be fun.
I like it. We can talk about stuff too. We have catch up. Okay, so I usually have two questions from the listeners, and then I ask one or ask it to you, and then I answer. But I only have one this week. So, listeners, please send me some more questions. I'm running out. I've got one more, and I need it for next recording. So, but it's a good one. This one's a doozy, so I think it'll work out fine. It'll give us plenty to talk
about. It's
a doozy?
A
little bit. It's one of those where it could take us on a bunny trail, and I love those kind of questions.
Okay.
So can you talk about freeing your mind from preconceived pressure and rules so creating just flows?
Yes and no. I think because it's very, I mean, you need to be rigid and you need not to just flow and do your own. You have to have, like what we were talking about, that understanding and acknowledgement of the history behind you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, and then do your own thing with it and be free in your mind and not feel any pressure of that history and not feel any pressure of anyone or your own ideas. Sometimes you have to tell yourself to shut up and that's really beneficial. But then I think at the other turn, you have to kind of rein yourself in a little and feel some of that pressure. Because otherwise you're just making art for your own sake and not to actually be speaking towards something, adding to this world, exploring the world, you know. Because I think there are times when it's like the fine line where it's your own personal journal and that can be a good thing or a bad thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think art needs to add to the world, speak to the world. But it doesn't just need to be something you poop out and say, okay, deal with it, you know, all the time. This is a rabbit hole question.
I know. That's why I was like, this one could totally take us in all kinds of directions.
Yeah. But I do think, I mean, I don't want to speak too ill of the experience because the experience of going to school, especially grad school, so tricky. There's so many factors and so many, that word pressure, man, it weighs on you. Because they're prepping you for a world that is a profession,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not always going to have, you're not always going to be cradled in that sweet nest of the education system, you know.
Beautiful nest of undergrad.
Yeah. And the, yeah. And so they're trying to put pressure on you to make you develop into a self-sustaining adult, mm-hmm. you know, because once you're a bachelor's student, I think you're kind of like a teenager, you know.
Yeah.
You're really coming into your own. You're learning more. You're kind of rebellious, maybe. And then grad school, like you turned 18 and you're getting kicked out. You know,
refining fire for sure.
Yeah. And so I think there were times that pressure was not good. And not just for me personally, but I saw that kind of pressure hit other people in the program. And it did some damage, you know. There was too much outside influence hitting people,
yeah.
you know. And they were turning into like kind of factory workers, just mm-hmm. producing this work that they knew could sell, it could get unpublished, and then I think they were losing some of that free mind, you know, and just being open and seeing, because I mean, the biggest thing that you learn in bachelor's too is how to be an explorer of the world and look at everything and analyze and see how you can put that into your work and how you can, send out a new perspective, for everyone, mm-hmm. Does that answer that?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's a good point because, you definitely covered preconceived pressures and how to just go with the flow. It really is, if you don't learn the basics, it's really hard to flow, because it's like, yeah. I kind of feel like if you're learning a sport, it's just like you've got to learn the basics before you can play, because if you don't have those refined, it makes it really hard to just like be in the zone.
Yeah.
And one of the things I found is if you can learn the basics and you really address what pressure is and find out what pressure mm-hmm. is, then mm-hmm. you can then you can conceive what the pressure is and let it go, kind of a thing where like now I'm finding I set time just to play, because if I don't, I get all in my head and like you were saying, I become a machine. I'm pumping out what's the best thing that's going to sell instead of what am I trying to say? And so I found that when I play, what I'm trying to say and what my soul is desiring to communicate always comes out in the play. And then that ends up turning into art. And that's where the exploration comes in. So that's my personal answer to that question.
Yeah. I mean, it's a
tricky question.
We're walking through a minefield every time you sit down to make work, and I think that a lot of what nags people too is like, am I going to be important? Am I making something that's worthy, or is it just trash?
Gotta let that go. That's the hardest one. If you can, that's when I get in that mindset, that's where I get scared about making anything and I make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, it's said over and over, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to other people, but in the art world, it's kind of difficult because you do want to look at your history, but yeah. I think there was a big span of time too where I was making work, but I was just absolutely obsessed with digging holes. Mm. Like
you were literally digging holes too.
Huh? What were you saying?
I said I think you were literally making some holes too.
I was literally out, digging holes all through the back. When UT Tyler developed the forest area behind the art complex, they're going to find a bunch of holes.
They are.
I was just obsessed with it. I couldn't stop. I had to. There was something in me, that I had to be out in those woods by myself in the rain, sunshine, whatever, digging holes, and big holes, deep holes. And I wanted to see, what is a hole that's shaped like this look like, feel like, what kind of work goes into it. And then what do I put in it? And how am I? I think I was just getting so obsessed with the physical act of literally changing your environment. And, it was something that there was pressure coming in from the classes I was in, the people I was talking to. Everyone was saying, how are you going to exhibit this? It's just all you'll have is documentation. And I didn't care. I could care less. I got to go out there and I got to dig a hole for 8 hours. And, then I want you to come and see it.
Making everybody go out in the mud. I think that was one of my favorite of your installations was we all went out in the mud.
Yeah.
Who was the artist we were talking about too after? We had the best discussion. That's one of the things I remember being really excited about the idea of what you're making, but then the conversations mm-hmm. it ignited was such a rich experience. It's one of my favorite memories, actually.
Aww. Well, yeah, it was a great, and I'm not trying to have a self-centered moment, but we wouldn't have had a conversation if I felt bound into not doing this thing that I was so, it wasn't even a desire or passion. It was just something I had to do.
Yeah.
I had to dig it. Those holes, they had to happen. you know?
Yes. No, the ideas, I firmly believe that ideas are kind of an entity and they find you, and you have to, if you're that type of person, you are absolutely compelled to make that idea happen.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Most definitely. And I think, too, once you start following that stuff, then you're not following a recipe and, like, this linear timeline and, you know, set up to do with stuff with your work. You know, if you catch a wild hare and it's something like that, you know, and you've never dug holes to be your work before, you know, who cares? Yeah. Go and see what you're finding. I mean, it's something in you, you know.
And I think people get that. Right. That's what people need to learn is, like, you got to listen to your gut. It does know what it's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, too, they confuse that as well with the muse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this, like, mythical, glittery thing out there that if you can just find it and follow it, you know, then, you know, that sets everything up. But no, it's something
nice.
That's just...
but...
Ooh.
It'd be so nice. Hard work.
Yeah.
Hard work. Yeah. That's like, you have to have a good balance. Hard work, finding the ideas, sticking with your gut, going with it, seeing where it goes, coming back to your old ideas. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then seeing some art. Okay, so it's time for some art news. What have you seen recently that knocked your socks off? So it could either be in person or online, or maybe it's in the past.
Something that, I mean, it's not super duper brand new stuff, but these kind of like immersive shows, and then where they're, it's not just like the kind of cheesy Van Gogh thing, and now it's like a Frida Kahlo thing, but it's also where people are like, they're projecting huge bits of art, you know, it's kind of like a revitalization from the old, you know, previous works that happened throughout the years of projection onto buildings and that stuff. I think that's super cool. And I think it's like our digital age and everyone wanting their TikTok to be like super cool. It's really like catching major strides, and there are a lot of cool things happening with that. I thought that's really cool. Really awesome. But I'm also excited about what the world, especially the art world, is changing to adapt to the post-COVID world.
Yes. You know? No, that's a good point to bring up. It is way different. I mean, it's had to be, and we've discovered things like, you know, maybe not just the Zoom calls. There's different ways of interacting with each other and communicating that can be done digitally. It's nice to see a new medium in a sense. Like, I almost want to call like digital art a medium in a way. It's like the experience of interacting.
Yeah. Like those super cool, like virtual tours you could take, like I sent off a piece, or an image and it was so much cheaper, to LA, and it was part of a virtual gallery tour. And I was like, this is so cool.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
Super cool. Yeah, and I bet there are a lot of people that really hate it because it's always not the true essence. You're not there and experiencing it. And it is like it was kind of damaging in a sense too, because, you know, installation work and, you know, anything similar to that, because there's so many different new things coming up that I don't even know if they have names.
I don't know. It was one of those.
It's not like the traditional sense of installation.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can't experience that through the internet, you know, unless you've got those, whatever, the goggle things, the 3D goggle things. But so I think it's super cool, but it's also like, you know, maybe we're acting a little adversely because it's new and we don't understand it yet. But
always.
Super fun stuff. Anyway. You know.
I've enjoyed it. It's been really helpful, especially when we literally couldn't go to museums. It was such a comfort to be like, well, there's a way to still see and exhibit art. This is nice. And
yeah.
I would love, I mean, I personally get sick in the VR reality things, but if I could get used to it, that'd be such a cool way of going to art shows without traveling.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And then I mean, it would ignite, like I said, a new medium. Like there's different ways of using it because there's a lot of art. Or I should say, there's a lot of designers out there who are very good with digital media, but they're mm-hmm. usually considered an illustrator. They're usually considered a designer. And it's like, it's a fun medium. Why is this not like a professional thing yet? Well, there's not a platform yet.
Well, that's because the art world is very snooty and stuck mm-hmm. up. I'll say slow we, changing. Because I do it too.
Yeah, we all do.
I mean, it's that age-old debate, you know, what is craft, what is design, and then what is fine art?
Yeah, and those you lines know? Are starting to get nicely blurred. I love it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I saw recently RO2 Gallery in downtown Dallas, just south of downtown in the Cedars, that gallery have an exhibit, and it is of Brooks Oliver's ceramics. He's got these really fun, colorful ceramics, y'all. If you can see it, it's a lot of fun and slightly punny.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Joshua Dodson's, he has shaped paintings that are very geometric, and the two combined was, it was a fun show. I was really excited to get to go see it. So if you're in the Dallas area, I highly recommend either checking it out online, which is like, Instagram and stuff. It's so nice to be able to just see what's going on, even if you can't go see it. But in person, it's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
So that's something I've seen recently. I'd heard about both artists, and I hadn't gotten to see them in person. And then I walked in, and I was like, this is a great pairing. So that was fun. But then also, especially like Brooke Oliver's ceramics, there's one at it's like a loop, and it's called LOL. And then you look at it, and you realize the shape of the ceramics does spell out LOL when you look at it a certain way. And it's punny, and I really love puns. So,
yeah.
I loved it. Okay. If you could recommend an online art community or resource for people starting out, what would you recommend?
Oh, I'm going to have to look it up, because it's really cool. It's an Instagram thing, and it's a gallery I follow. Well, I guess I could just say in general too, Instagram.
I know. You're not the first person to say that. I feel like it's such a good resource, and I kind of get sad for people when they're like, I don't use social media. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I get it too, because it can be a total time like black hole. But if you want to research, it is.
Well, and this is, it's called, I think it's called Tamboran 2 Gallery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in New York. And they just post, I mean, I love, it's just such a variety of things.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do get on Instagram, it's like, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I know. I follow them too. They're great. It's nice to have someone kind of curate, like, a nice selection of things you haven't seen before. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally
I dig it.
Love it. Thanks. I'm glad you mentioned that. I probably would not have thought of mentioning it. That's a good one. Okay, so where can people find more about your art? And then also, one thing we didn't really talk about as much is the Worthy Ones, your philanthropy that's helping East Texas. Hmm. Where can people find out about that?
Website, norashriber.com, and there's also theworthyones.com. I am on Facebook and Instagram, Nora Schreiber. And, I mean, if people, too, if they just want to shoot me a text, you know, that would be cool. I can show them pictures. Because sometimes I don't post stuff. This is that thing I was talking about, like, I'm not good at doing the, what you should be doing in the art world, you know, updating my website and posting on Instagram. I just don't think about it. And so I think I prefer to have that conversation. So if anyone ever wanted to text me, my number's on the Worthy Ones website.
Awesome.
I won't say it out loud now. You have to go find it.
Oh, that's a good way to say it. You got to do a little work. She'll gift you a conversation for sure. That's pretty generous of you, actually. I love that. Thank you.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Nora, for being on the show. This is a lot of fun.
No, thank you for having me. Yeah.
We've got to have an in-person get-together sometime. It'll be great.
Yeah. We do. Desperately, we do.
I know, for sure. Well, y'all check her out. Also, check out the Instagram to find out more about what we've talked about. I'll have some handy links. Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode, it supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Yes, one word. to see pictures of what I've talked about, and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast. Thank you.